I'm Carlos Morales, and you're listening to 103.3 KWBU FM Waco. Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In the city of West, community members are opening a long-awaited museum that focuses on the history of the town. I sat down with Georgia Hutera, president of the museum's board. We talk about the town's rich Czech and German history and the difficulties and unity spurred by the fertilizer plant explosion in 2013.
My name's Georgia Hutera, and I'm the president of the museum board.
Georgia, what is it that you do, and how did you exactly get involved with starting the History of West Museum?
Actually, and I've kind of told this story before, I'm a registered nurse and have spent my whole career working in hospitals. And then after I retired, I worked at the school system for a while as a school nurse. But I always loved art, and I loved to paint, and never had a whole lot of time for it. So after I retired about 6 years ago, I started painting. Since we were living in West is my hometown, even though I didn't live here for 30 years, I started painting, and I wanted to paint the old buildings here. I started painting some of the old churches here in West. Like any artist, I like to research my subjects. So I started researching the old churches, and then I started researching some of the old buildings when I painted them. And actually, I think I've got about 16 oil paintings now that I've done of buildings around West. And I just found this wonderful history as I was researching these old buildings. And I started reading about the settlers that came here, our ancestors that immigrated from Europe and things like that. And I've always loved history. So my art and the history kind of came together. And then I started talking to some of the West residents, and they were saying we should have a museum that they've been trying for like 30 years to open a museum, but it has, you know, it takes a lot of work, and it just never happened. So a few of us got together, I guess there were about three or four of us in 2011, and we started making plans to see if this was possible and see if the people of West and the surrounding area, see if they would even support us. So we started making our plans for the museum. We kind of had some general ideas of what we wanted in the museum. We wanted to tell the history. So then we had a town hall meeting, and we invited the residents of West, and we told them what our ideas were and to see if they would be supportive. And they were overwhelmingly supportive of the idea. So from there, we just, you know, ran with it, and more and more people started joining our group, and to where now we have a 9-member board, and we've had our board in place at least 2 years now. The same board members are still still in their positions, and then we have what's called other people that would come to the meetings and would come every month, and there for a while we were meeting once a week, but now we meet once a month. So we call these people our advisory members, because they do give us advice, whether we like it or not. They give us advice. But they're wonderful, you know, people. That's kind of how it all started.
Since the want for a museum had been there for a while, what made it stick this time around? What are the logistics of getting this idea off the ground?
One of the things when my husband and I, we've always traveled to museums all over, and we've loved going to them. And so we started looking at museums and trying to see what works, what doesn't. We visited with a lot of the museum administrators. We went to the Mayburn Museum, and basically what we were told is that if you're not committed, you might as well, you know, not even try to attempt it. So we were at that point, you know, we were pretty well committed, although we had no earthly idea what all was involved. So we kind of went as we learned. Probably if we knew ahead of time what all was involved, we probably would have ran for the hills. But we knew we had to be a nonprofit, and so we started pursuing the nonprofit status. We got our 501c3, and that was quite an experience too. All the paperwork and the back and forth, sending it in and getting it back, and they needed more information and that. But we did achieve that, and so then after that happened, things started rolling. We started having fundraisers. And like I said, the people of West and our surrounding areas were very supportive. They came out to our fundraisers. And then it took us a while to find the right building, because we knew we wanted it in the downtown area. Most people that go to West, they go on the side of West. They go on I-35. They know about the kolache shops on the highway. But I don't think they know that there's a downtown, of a historic downtown area. So we really wanted to bring in the people into the downtown area. And so they could see that we have restaurants here. We've got some wonderful restaurants. We've got shops and stores and things that they could do, you know. So our goal was to find a appropriate building downtown. And that took us a while. We finally found this building. And it has 7,000 square feet. It was built in 1896. It's an old building, but it's the walls are in great shape. You know, back in those days, when they built brick, it was really, you know, tough, and it was a good structure. So we got this 7,000 square foot building, and then 3 weeks after the museum board basically purchased it, we put in our monies, and we purchased not just the museum board, but the museum members. They all pitched in too, and so we bought the building. And 3 weeks later, we had the explosion after we bought the building, and we were getting ready to start working on it. And we were looking, you know, at the ceilings and different things like that, and we thought we could restore some of the old walls and things that were in here. But then after the explosion, the tile ceilings came down, the sheetrock walls were broken, all our glass was broken out. And so we reevaluated it. Of course, we put everything on hold for a few months, because we had to take care of our families and our friends, and, you know, they needed homes, they needed help. So, of course, the museum was put on a back burner. And but then we decided again, okay, do we go ahead, because we know how much our community needed help. And we ourselves, we didn't have insurance. Even though we were pursuing insurance, but when you have a 9-member board, it takes a little while for everyone to come to the decision, you know, who we're going to go with and all of that. So, but, you know, the people of West and people that have gone to school in West or had families in West that now have moved to Austin and Dallas and different places, they started sending us funds. And so we knew we had to go forward. We couldn't just let it lie, even though, you know, our town suffered a terrible loss and terrible destruction. But that's West. That's who we are. When we go back and look at our ancestors, the problems and the struggles that they went through to come here and make a better life for all of us. And even I'm a second generation from my grandparents from both of my sides came from Moravia. And people come here, came here from all over, and they really struggled. And we're descendants of those people. So we knew we were resilient. We had to go forward. And that's what we did. So here we are. We're going to have an opening Saturday.
After the explosion in West, did you ever think you shouldn't go through with this?
Yes, well, of course, we had those second thoughts many times. but they would only last for, you know, a short little while, and then we'd, something would come up or some person would come, you know, and say, oh, I remember this or I remember that, or I have this from my grandparents and we really wouldn't want the museum to have this. And so it was just constant reminders that we had to go forward. And especially after the explosion, we needed to tell that history too. So generations from now, they would know what happened here. You know, they wouldn't have to just read about it in newspapers. They could see the actual things, you know, the actual photos, the actual pieces of metal, the, you know, all of that. So it was just, we knew the importance of it. For a little community like this, if you don't remember where you came from, then you're going to lose it in a few more generations. So we knew we had to do that.
Is there an exhibit dedicated to the explosion?
Yes, we have our museum divided up into different galleries. And one of our galleries is, we call it our, actually it represents our fire department. They're a volunteer fire department. They were started in 1892. And they have continued on from there. And so about half of this gallery is devoted to, as a memorial to the firefighters that we lost, and also focuses on the explosion. The other part of this gallery focuses on the very positive things that our fire department does every day to protect our community.
Do you think the museum and going forward with it became a means of community healing?
I hope it does. I think it reminds us more of who we are, and that we have to stay strong. We have to stay strong for our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come. So, yeah, I think, you know, part of it was, yes, we have to tell this story, but the other part was, you know, it's just important for us to remember our ancestors and our history and how we got to where we are today.
Can you tell me more about the museum and how you came across these great pieces of West history?
And, well, first of all, I want to mention that our supporters and even our local businesses, you know, we have builders that came here. And, for instance, Larry Hickel, he donated a lot of lumber for doing the interior walls. Tucker Lumber Company from Hillsboro, they went and they donated, you know, all these 2x4s and all of that. And so we had things like that. People were coming in. Our air conditioned system was donated. So sometimes people didn't have the actual funds to give us, but they had things from their businesses that they could help us. So that's been a great help. But so what we did, when you walk into the museum, it's like stepping back in time. We actually started in the 1850s as Bold Springs. So you've probably heard that name a lot of times. West was Bold Springs before we were West. And it was Carrie Bowles, who was a settler that came to this area in 1850, and he built a cabin near one of the springs. There are a lot of springs around West, so this area was really great for ranchers and farmers and that, because there was an abundance of water. The prairie land was very good for growing grain crops and things like that. And then we had all the woodlands to the west of us, so they needed the woods, you know, to build their homes and all of that. So that's how we started. And then Thomas West, he was 22 years old when he came from Kentucky. And he came and settled. He came to, he worked his way to Bold Springs. And there at that time, there were about 300 settlers living in the area. And there were families like the Cobbles and the Martins and the Klosners. And I mean, they came from England and Scotland and Switzerland and from the old states, Alabama, you know, Kentucky, everywhere. And of course, with them, they brought a lot of their stuff. And we still have, for instance, the Bennetts came here in 1856. They came from Kentucky. And we have the actual stirrups of Walter Bennett, from the horse that he rode, and they're wooden stirrups. Then we have Mrs. Bennett's side saddle. So if you can imagine, we have a side saddle from 1850 that this lady, she rode side saddle, herding their family cattle to this area while their small children were in a little covered wagon, you know, and that. And so those are some wonderful ideas. We have wonderful items that we have. We have a covered wagon that the Nancy Vedrine's family, the Grossmans, her grandparents, it was their covered wagon that they used here. And the family actually came from Czechoslovakia, but then they had the covered wagon here. And so, you know, it goes way, way back in time. So we're very blessed to have that. And I guess when you're in a small community like this, you know the families, and you know that this was their ancestors, and they kept so much of this stuff, you know. So that's our early pioneer days is as you enter the museum, you're going to see that. We've got a storefront Main Street, which depicts West in about the 1890s. And what happened in 1881, so we started as Bold Springs in 1850. Then and Thomas West came in 1856. But in 1881, the MKT Railroad ran their tracks through this area. And so when the train came through, they came through Thomas West land, and they stopped and they made a train station on Thomas West land. So the railroad petitioned to change the name from Bold Springs to West, naming it after Thomas West. So the Bold Springs, which was a little bit more southwest of here, it now kind of migrated to this area right here, which is, you know, maybe a mile or two from the original Bold Springs spot. So that's how we became West. And so then we kind of continue through the decades in those first few galleries. We have the ancestors room that has the covered wagon that I just talked about. That was the Grossman's covered wagon. So we have pictures and stories of those early ancestors that came. Then, of course, when you're a farming community like we are, you have to have the farming and ranching. So we have a very nice gallery with farming and ranching and the blacksmith and things like that. We have a gallery that is a photography studio. We had three generations of photographers that they and their families took photos here of everything in West from early 1900s. And the photography studio is closed now because the third generation photographer died a few years ago, and the family did not continue the photography studio. So what they did, since their studio was closed, we asked them to come here and open up a gallery and set up their photography studio, which they were so happy to do, and we're just so honored to have them do that. And then we have, of course, we've got to have our city government and our early businesses. We have those galleries. And then we talked about the memorial and the fire department's gallery. And this is a big military town. Our young men in, especially in World War II, so many of our young men left to go fight. And so we have a large gallery for the military and the veterans. And then we have galleries for the churches, the schools, the sports. And of course, we can't leave out the Czech heritage. That's what we really, you know, promote ourselves as. So we have a large gallery devoted to Czech heritage.
You know, it's really amazing to see people in the community coming forward with items that they had preserved through the generations. Were you at all surprised by this?
Yes, I certainly was surprised because my family saved very few items. And so I have very few things from my family members, from my grandparents and that. And I've got some photos, but that's pretty much the extent of it. And I saw some of these families that had saved stuff from, you know, since the 1880s and that. So I was very surprised, and we're all having a lot of fun looking at these things and trying to figure out what they were and how they used them. And usually the families, the descendants of those families, you know, bring them in and they explain to us what it is and all of that. So some of them are quite unique, and some are kind of funny. We have a washing machine here that it's like a big tub, and it's got these suction cups that you twirl around, and it washes the clothes, you know. And so everybody that's been in the museum says they've never seen anything like it. So I don't know if this early pioneer made this washing machine, but it is just wonderful, you know. So things like that, yeah. So we're blessed, and I'm just we're having a lot of fun looking at the old items.
What brought a lot of Czech and German settlers to West?
The big immigration really started in the 1870s, and it was basically the Czechs and Germans were coming alike. They were coming, you know, of course, the Germans were coming from Hanover, and the Czechs were coming from all over Moravia and Bohemia and that. And I think there were several reasons. The opportunities were not there in their country. In Germany, they were having the famine. The potato crops didn't come out, and so they were having starvation and that. You had to go into the military and serve. All young men had to serve 3 years in the Austrian military. At that time, Austria, it was the Austrian Empire that was over the Czechoslovakia. And so these young men, some of it was that. A lot of it was, like I said, those were small countries, and they just didn't have the opportunities for it. If there was a larger family, then usually the oldest son would inherit the farm. And so the other sons didn't have the opportunities. So they came to this country looking for a new start. There was, at the time, there was also what was called university lands. The state of Texas in 1850 passed a act that was called the university lands. And what they did, they needed money for colleges like Waco College, which is now Baylor University, and for the public school system, because they didn't have the public schools. And so what they did, they came out here, they brought surveyors, and they surveyed land, and then they sold it very cheaply for like $1.50 an acre. And so people that were, you know, that saw this from Europe, they came over and were able to buy this land, and now they have their own farms and things like that. Even though they came here with almost no money, most of them, you know, they were eventually able to buy the land. So that was also a big factor that brought them in. And once they had a relative or two come here, for instance, let's say there was a son, you know, that came here, or maybe a daughter that married someone and they moved over here, then they would write back home and they would say how wonderful it is here, even though they were working so hard and they were struggling and all of that. They would write back home and they would say, oh, come to this country, it's wonderful, you know, and the crops grow huge and things like that. So others started coming, you know, and I guess that's kind of how it grew.
Apart from kolaches, how else do we experience and see Czech culture throughout the town?
Well, we have, you know, the Czechs have lots of traditions, and a lot of those have been carried out through the generations. One of the things we do have, it's called Westfest, and that's a kind of a Czech festival, and it lasts for 3 days. It's always during Labor Day weekend. And if you've never been to that, it's, you know, it's quite an experience where there's just all kinds of food. You just can't imagine all the food booths that you can visit and buy some wonderful specialties. And then there's the music. There's always been, you know, a lot of music from the Czech heritage and that. So there's always the music, and of course there's the pivo, the beer, and things like that. So we have that, and then just The weddings here, the Chess were used to having large weddings. They would invite lots of people, and they would just have big celebrations. And of course, that is still carried on today. The big weddings, the dances, you would rent a hall and, you know, have the fried chicken dinner and all of that kind of stuff. So it's, like I said, the restaurants, some of them will, you know, they serve Czech food, so you can order that. And of course, you can order your Mexican food or basic American food and all that too. But they do serve Czech specialties. So there's, that's, you know, kind of the things that we still carry on is those different traditions.
I just want to go back really quickly. What's the cost associated with getting the museum started?
It gets rather expensive. Like I said, if it wasn't for all these wonderful companies and sponsors and things like that that came forward to help us out, it would have really been difficult. But, you know, our struggle is not over. We're an all-volunteer museum. We've had one carpenter that helped us out in the past year. Before that, everything was done by just us volunteers. And most of us volunteers are not all that young, but we got out there and, you know, we crawled the ladders and we put up walls and we certainly did a lot of painting. But we're going to need continued support, you know, because we want this to stay open for generations to come. And we want to add new things to it. And we want to definitely we need to add some of the technical stuff, you know. So there's expenses that we will always incur, the electricity, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. But it's kind of hard to say. It's amazing how we've just kind of taken it day by day. We've been very frugal with our funds, and that's part of being Czech too. We're frugal with our funds, but not to the point where, you know, we know what the basic value is of things, and we make sure we do get very good quality stuff for our money and all of that. But we do not like to get a lot of loans or stuff. So it was a kind of pay as you go. We have a small outstanding loan yet, but it's very small, and I think we will probably pay for that soon. But had it not been for all the very generous people that have come forward, then this wouldn't have happened. We've also been able to get a few grants, and just recently, a matter of fact, just yesterday, we got a $5,000 grant from Union Pacific Railroad, and it's specific for renovating the exterior of our building. We definitely have to do something to the exterior of our building. It looks nice and kind of modern right now, but we want it to look like a museum, maybe something from the past, you know. So we still have that to do. So I don't know. It just, we cross our fingers and we say our prayers and we hope that, you know, we'll be able to continue going. And so far, everything's been working out very good.
And lastly, Georgia, what do you want to see come of the museum opening?
What I want, and it's not necessarily just the opening, but for continued, I want people to come visit. I want them to learn about us. I want people that have relatives and friends here, or that had ancestors that came here. I want the generations now and future generations, I want them to be able to look back and say, oh, this was my grandpa, or this was my great-great-grandpa, and oh, look, here's where he came from, you know, because a lot of our early ancestors, they didn't want to really talk about, especially if they came from Europe, they did not want to talk about where they came from or what they did or why they came and that. So a lot of those stories we're just kind of pulling out now, you know, where we're finding out they would write something in books or in their ledgers or, you know, things like that. And those are very interesting stories, and they're very important to us. So I want people to come here and be able to look back, look at those ancestors, and to actually get strength from it, which is, I think, what we did when we suffered our tragic explosion. I think we got strength from knowing what our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, what they went through to make a better life for themselves and for us. And so that's one of the things too. We want to honor our ancestors. We don't want to forget about them. We want to remember our story, our West story, how West got to where it is today. And then we want to go forward.